paid the price. He paid the price.
Okay. Come on. Come on down. And you can stand right there. Let me get a mic.
Eli.
Let's get ourselves ready, ready to go in front of our Almighty God. He knows us. Almighty Father, good God, Almighty God, my God. You know us, Lord. You brought to me all week, Lord, Jeremiah 1, Lord. You know us before we were formed in our mother's womb, good God. You took your children and you sanctified them, Lord. You separated them from this world, Lord. You separated and set them apart for your work, Lord. For you, good God Almighty. Thank you for that. Thank you. You are sovereign, sovereign God. But yet, you said those babies, they are mine. They are my sons, my children. Good God Almighty, thank you. Thank you. We know that right now, Lord, you're going to speak in each and our heart. Each and every one of us will receive your word. Because that word, Lord, sharper than a two-edged sword, Lord. It's going to cut whatever is not of you, Lord. Lord, let your Holy Spirit on us, Lord, just convict us of whatever is not of you, good God, so we can let it out. Don't suppress it. Let it out, because we want to be more like your son, Lord, more like Jesus, just like you separate us to make us into the image of Christ. Good God Almighty, thank you for that. Your son, Lord, is about to speak the word. He's a vessel, good God Almighty, a vessel. He, in Jeremiah 1:15, Jeremiah said, I am a child, Lord. I do not know how to speak, but you said, shh. You touch his lips, Lord. You said, stop saying that. I command you to go and speak. Good God Almighty, touch his lips, Lord, as he speak your word. Let the word that comes out be the word that you want him to speak. Nothing of him but your Holy Spirit, good God. That Holy Spirit is going to go in different ways. If it's to heal, it will heal. If it's to rebuild, it will rebuild. If it's to shape and mold and transform, he will do what it was meant to do. But each and every one of us will receive you, Lord. We're prepared to receive you. We want to receive you, good God. We are humbled. We're like children, God. We're like children. You want us to be like children with that faith that believes in your word. Your word says, therefore it is. Lord, we believe. We praise you, and we were waiting for you. We're waiting on our edge of our seats, God, for the word you're about to give us, for the food you're about to feed us with. So we praise you, good God. We praise you in advance, and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
You feel comfortable? You feel comfortable? Okay. Come forward, brother. He shared with me that he had a testimony that he wanted to speak to the church. I haven't heard it. So be good.
That is good.
I know.
That is good all the time. And just like you said, the testimony, that's the truth of God's time. When God gives you the message, You have to bring it out. Don't be shy. I'm holding you. And this testimony about my father. I grew up with my mom and dad. So loving, nice. You know, we come here, everybody is good. And I get myself in trouble. So when I come home, the family wasn't like when I was there. Dad's a passing mom, son passing mom, and I'm like, Lord, mom, this is not it. So I'm going to church with my mom, and I know what I'm trying to do. I said, sis, your mom loves you, you know? Anybody who you're talking to, tell him about mom, and mom getting her feelings. And I said, mom, anybody you're talking to, tell him about your daughter.
So why not just go walk and talk about it, you know? So the Lord talking to me and said, this, you can't handle this. It's bigger than me. So get somebody from the church, the pastor, the deacon, come pray for the house. And every time this come to me, it's really hurt me. But I never do what the Lord said to do. And a couple weeks after that, I lost my mom. And it's really hurt me. And I think if I carry the message out for the pastor, the deacon, come pray for the house and the family, I think my mom is still here now. So I'm just telling everybody, when the Lord give you the message, we have to bring it out. Stop, keep it in, because it will hurt me so bad. And just thank the Lord to giving me the power now to can have the faith to come speak in front of the church. And I just thank the Lord for everything you do. Thank you.
I'll be honest, I had no idea what he was going to share. You know, we say we love God. This message here is going to be a two-part series, okay? The first part, you know, we talk about loving God, but how do we love God? How do we truly love God? And the second part will be in loving God the way he tells us to love him.
Amen.
Grab hold to that. There are many great benefits in the spirit as well as the natural people.
Amen.
Never forget that God is a spirit. And he speaks to our spirit mind, our spirit being. Loving God. How? But how do we love God? Most of us love God with our human mind. Yeah, we do. We're going to go somewhere today. I'm going to try to stay here and finish it because I believe this is very important. I've been hearing this all morning long. Loving God, loving God, loving God. I heard from Devin, when God speaks to you, obey.
Amen.
He says, if you love me, you will obey. Point blank, simple. Well, let's go on a journey. How do we fall in love with God? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do not answer it. It's rhetorical. Do you love God? You're thinking about it in your mental capacity right now. See, we try to love God through our minds the way we love each other. God requires a different type of love. God's love is agape love. My love for my wife is eros. That's where they get the word erotica. There are different types of love. Philadelphia. I don't want to get off on the various types of love. We're talking, God has to teach us how to love him. With my wife. I had to learn how to love her. I had to learn what brings her pleasure, what brings the best out of her. I can't just love her the way I want to love her. I got to love her the way she needs for me to love her. Grab hold to that.
Amen.
That's a revelation for some of you right now. In loving God, we have to love him the way he wants us to love him. It's not about what I say.
Amen.
I can say a whole lot. You ain't the only one that ain't gonna be quiet. You ain't the only one that's loud. You might got me on that one, but no, I don't think so. I doubt that there is a single Christian in the world who would answer the question that I ask you with a no. We all say we love him. But if we're truly being honest, can we answer it with 100% yes? Not one of us in here can say 100% yes. Do we love him with all of our heart? Now think about this. With all of our minds? With all of our souls? That's all consuming. As Jesus said, I come to do the will of the Father, the one that sent him. All right, I'm going to expose myself. A short time ago, a sobering and humbling realization came to me. I didn't really love God the way he wanted me to love him. Yes, I would say I loved him. I served him, I spent time thinking about him, and I even loved to read his word. I was loving God through the love I used to love people. And not in the spirit of my mind and heart. Never forget, the spirit is willing and the flesh is weak. God's love, people, is different from ours.
Yes, it is.
And our love is different from God's. So to love God the way he requires and desires requires you and me to love him the way and how he tells us to love him. Nothing more, nothing less. But for some reason, I just had not put much time and effort in just simply loving God. You can be busy for the ministry. We can be doing all sorts of stuff. Good. Because these are requirements that we should do. But for some reason, I just wasn't putting much effort and thought into just loving God. Just loving him. I just love her. Nothing more, nothing less. I just love you. Nothing more, nothing less. I do. I had put a lot of thought and energy into loving others. And we should. Jesus does say in John 13:35 that when we love one another, that's how all men know we are his disciples. Correct? So let's read Mark 12:30. Pastor Linda gave this, I believe. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. That's heavy. That's heavy. That's some heavy love. You cannot accomplish it in your natural being.
Amen.
You will never be able to accomplish this in your natural being. The spirit is willing. Understand, God is a supernatural God.
Yes, he is.
I must try to stay the course. And guess what? God is a spirit.
Yes, he is.
I've said this before. We are spiritual beings that so happen to inhabit a flesh body. That's just how God set it up. God says we must worship him in spirit.
Hallelujah.
That's not a natural thing. We will always fall short if we try to obey God in our natural ability.
Amen.
How can you be good enough? You can't. Sometimes we who are spirit-filled, tongue-talking, Bible-toting rascals don't even realize we are falling over into religiosity. We don't even recognize it. I'm not going to go over it down there. I mean, so to love God the way he requires and desires requires you and me to love him the way he tells us to love him. As I said, I put a lot of thoughts into loving others. But for some reason, I'd had missed that loving others was the second commandment, not the first. A greatest commandment from God is to love thy God. So simple, so important, but so transforming. But how had I missed it? I was humbled and ashamed that I had spent so many years of my Christian life missing the point of it all. Some of us are so religious, we don't even recognize it. We don't even recognize that we have fallen over into works.
Come on there.
You can't be saved by works. And the more work you do doesn't make God love you no more, no less.
Amen.
You're not saved through works. But many of us get that thing confused. We get busy. I love being busy in the ministry of the Lord. I didn't come home. I didn't retire to come home and sleep up in the bed. I'm being honest with you. I didn't come home, sit and watch TV. No. I came home to get busy for God.
Amen.
To get busy for God. Not get busy for works. The difference. Get busy for God. As I said, I was humbled and ashamed that I had spent so many years of my Christian life missing the whole point. This is the one thing God desires most from you and me, and I hadn't really given it a whole lot of thought. I felt I loved God, but just I did not love God the way he wanted me to love him. That's a difference. You can't love God the way you think you're supposed to love him. You got to love him the way he tells us to love him. And this might be a revelation for the body of Christ.
Come on, man.
Because many of us are so busy doing the work of the ministry. Don't get me wrong. We need to do that. But we need to focus first on the greatest commandment. When we do that, everything else falls into place. It's easy to love your neighbor. Yeah. We done talked about it. It's simple. Yeah, it is simple. But why are we not doing it? But I'm so glad God loves us despite of ourselves, and that he keeps working on us. He keeps working on me. I'm grateful that he is patient with me, and he reveals his truth to us if we sit down and shut up. He's speaking to me. Sometimes we need to shut up to hear the revelation that he wants to speak to our spirit man. I'm grateful that he is patient. I became determined that I will start focusing my energy on simply loving God the way he wants me to love him. Amen. It is not a human love.
Amen.
It's not about how I smile in everybody's faces, how I hug you and all this. Those things are nice. That doesn't mean I love God. It could mean I'm phony. If the shoe fits, wear it. But my question was to God, how do I do this? How do I just start loving you the way you want me to love you? Because we've been in this body for umpteen years. It's a supernatural love. It really is. Because God is a supernatural God. So we need to love him supernaturally. Get your human love out the way. It will hinder you. What I found was that loving God is not difficult because he is absolutely incredible. But if we truly want to love God, we do need to spend some time and energy on the relationship, just as we would any relationship, as I have to spend time to foster my relationship with my wife, with my children. I have a note here that I put. Many times we equate being grateful to God with loving God. Because we all are grateful what Jesus did. We who are saved, we're not going to hell. Our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So many times we equate being grateful to loving God. Because we're grateful what Christ did for us, we feel that we're loving God. Not necessarily, though, people. I find my love for God growing. Listen to this as I do the following. Number one, remember God's presence.
Amen.
Remember the presence of God. God says, I will never leave you.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
So according to the word, God is always with us. Not only is Jesus with us every moment, but he dwells inside of every Christian through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You know what the problem is with us? Is we are incredible forgetful. The very God of the universe is with us in our best and worst moments.
Amen.
And we often don't even realize it. That's why we do stupid stuff. We quote scripture. Quoting scripture. Spitting. And acting like a fool. Don't even recognize the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Sitting there. Look at this fool. Says he's a follower of me. Look at him. Don't even recognize I'm right here. Don't shout me down. It's true. I know because I've done it. One incredible discipline is to remind you that Christ is with you all the time. I'm trying to help you here in how to love God. Recognize his presence. When your body getting ready to do something stupid. So whoa, 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 whoa. Talks about, remember I tell you. You got to walk the walk and you got to work the word. You got to work it. God says, bring every thought unto captivity. That don't happen sitting there. No, this is work, people. Stop letting the adversary beat you up. Well, he beat me up. I'm not telling you something that I haven't had to go through and still don't go through. Sometimes God got to shake me because I'm sitting there getting beat up. God said, boy, get up. Get up, acting a fool. Remember God's presence, people. This may help some of you. Maybe it's putting sticky notes in strategic places where you can run into them throughout the day. The presence of God. Put it in your car. See, let me tell you something. When you wake up in the morning and you dedicate yourself to God, you're recognizing the presence of God. We're talking about how to love God.
That's right.
It's not a flesh thing, people. It's something we have to do. We have to come in agreement to what God says, and we have to be willing to want to be in the presence of God. There's nothing greater than being in the presence of God. I ain't talking ministry, popo. People. Whatever I say, poopo. No. See, I keep gum in my mouth because I ain't for praying over nobody and knocking you out because of my bad breath. No. Sister Vernice, who's not here, she sits back and laughs at me every Sunday because she see my jaws moving because I'm chewing gum. It's a work that we have to do.
Amen.
Not God.
Amen.
God don't have to prove he love us. Guess what? Oh, really? God doesn't have to prove he love us. We're here. We're blessed.
Yes. Thank you,
we're breathing.
Yes.
We're saved, delivered, and set free.
Amen. Amen.
And he sacrificed his only begotten son. God don't have to prove nothing.
Amen.
We got to get it right. Ask for a revelation as to how to love God. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, he says in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people and to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ.
Amen.
And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's mighty. You cannot do that in the flesh. People, I don't care how much you pray. I love to pray. I know I love to pray with people. I'm a pastor that is an intercessor. I don't make no doubt. I don't apologize for that. I don't. But don't fool yourself in thinking that it's all about prayer or whatever you may do. It's about loving God first.
Amen.
He says that we are to hunger and think about it, hunger and thirst for him, not for ministry. That's going to come. Not for prophecy. That's going to come. Not for the speaking of old tongues. That's going to come. Not for the laying on of hands. That's going to come. Not for evangelizing, that's going to come. Not for teaching, that's going to come. Paul's letter to the church at Ephesians is more for them to experience the revelation of Christ's love. Revelation. Because it's the only way they can truly, or we can truly understand it. It's a supernatural love.
Yes.
We have the supernatural Holy Spirit within us.
Amen.
We serve a supernatural God that we're trying to love in our natural ability. Why are we always falling short? We all. I do. This morning, I'm downstairs, and I told my wife last night, I said, I'm waking up early because I just want to go downstairs and spend some time with the Lord. And I just feel so stupid downstairs. I really do. Because, see, we all know our shortcomings. We know our shortcomings, our flaws, our faults, and all these other stuff that we're flawed. And I'm just feeling so ridiculous. Walking back and forth, just seeking God. Not feeling worthy. Not feeling worthy. And he spoke something to me. He said, "You're not worthy." Whew, I was like, whoa. You ain't have to agree with me, God. I mean, literally, I'm... And he said, oh, you finally got it. You're not worthy. I'm like, you agreed really quickly. And he said, but that's not the issue. Just love me. Just love me. That's it. As Paul puts it, it's beyond a human intellect. It's beyond a human knowledge. But having God reveal how wide, long, high, and deep Jesus' love is can make all the difference in our walk for God. Understanding these steps are how we love God. This is biblical. You tell God, number three, you tell God you love him physically. Tell him, I love you, God. I love you, God. Let me tell you, life and death is in the power of your tongue. I love you, God. I worship you. I glorify your name. I honor you, God. You command your body, your mouth, to speak blessings and not curses. You have the authority of the Holy Spirit within you. Tell God you love him. I want everybody right now to say, God. No, I want you to stand up on this one. Because we honor God. God deserves our all. Hold your hands. God, I love you. With my whole heart. You may be seated. We put the devil on run. We put him on notice. But you also brought your body under subjection to the Spirit. Number four, spend time just in his presence. We think we're spending time in God's presence. Most of the time, we're whining, we're crying, we're praying prayers that's beating up our sisters and brothers. Some of you don't know how to pray. You think you do. And you're praying prayers that I'm wondering what's wrong. Somebody praying prayer beat me all upside the head. People, God's a jealous God. He wants you to recognize and get into his presence. Don't pray for nothing else. Don't pray for no stuff. Don't rebuke your headache and praying over some sister that's attacking you or whatever we do. Just dwell in the presence of the Almighty. Find a place in your house or outside where you can just sit and dwell in the presence of God. Watch what happens. I can tell you this. Last night, I'm downstairs. God says meditate upon my word day and night, right? Yeah. Mm. Meditation is from the Bible. It's in there. Okay, just to let you know that. It's not New Age. I'm downstairs. My wife's upstairs. And I'm downstairs. I think I had just put a load of clothes in the washing machine and had taken a load out. And I was going back into my music room. And God just begins to speak. I go upstairs with my wife and share with her, and she, what did you say? Oh, she don't even know shit. She a whole lot of help. Lord. She a whole lot of help. I trying to be good today, ain't saying. You said that's definitely from God. There wasn't no 11 o'clock at night. It was like 9:30. Because I cut the lights off at 10:30 and you wanted to stay on that phone. I said, you said you had eye strain, so put that cell phone down. I know what I'm talking about. What'd you say? You called me to act up. Say you don't know what you said. All right. Spend time just in God's presence, people.
Amen.
Put your stuff down.
Amen.
Put that stuff down. And just spend time in the presence. You will receive such revelation, such understanding, such confirmation. No relationship can grow without time spent together.
Amen.
The same is true with God.
Hallelujah.
Choose to do everything you do out of love for Him.
Amen.
Pastor Ann shared something with me. We were just, this was during the COVID, and we came in here, she and I, every Friday for 2 years to pray, just she and I. One thing that stands out to me that she shared, and I did share it with Sheila, Minister Sheila. And she said, you know, Michael, yeah, she called me Michael. That is my name. Oh, said America. Pastor Michael, I'm like, no, come on. Let me tell you, some of us are too holier than thou. We get so wrapped up into titles. Well, don't mean nothing. Do you know what the scripture says? What does it say? Your gift will make room. It's the anointing. The power, the presence of God. You don't have to tell nobody. The anointing was on you, my sister. I know, I ain't forgot. That does happen to me sometimes, though. I told my wife one day, I had to go downstairs to get something. That brain going. I go downstairs in the utility room. I'm standing around looking around. Why am I down here? You understand that? I like, and so she was getting upset one day because you're forgetting. I said, what makes you think you're the only one? I go downstairs. I'm all excited. My brain everywhere. I go downstairs. I'm standing there. Why am I down here? What did I come down here to do? Lord. God said, I'm getting ready to take him out. Jesus said, no, I got him dead. I know he's a little nutty. Hallelujah. But Jay, everything that you do, do out of love for God. That's it. Especially ministry. Everything we do must be done out of love. Even when we as leaders have to address, I don't like the word rebuke and all that, but when we have to address an issue, it still must be done in love. Because if you come at me, and it's in the flesh, boy, I'm shutting you down quick. I'm like, I ain't listening to you. Because all I hear is flesh. I don't hear no spirit. Because God is going to reveal it to us. A little bit. All right. From our church ministry to our mundane chores, our motives make all the differences to God. When we choose to do the task out of love for God, our love for Him grows. Remember, we're talking how to love God. I'll say that again. When we choose to do a task out of love for God, our love for Him grows. It's just a mental task of consciously giving the activity to God as an offering. Okay? Everything that we do. Surround yourself with others who love the Lord. Surround yourself with others who want to go to another level. That's how we grow people. Iron sharpens iron. Surround yourself with people who are aggressive for the things of God. God wants us to be aggressive for Him. He wants us to get greedy for Him. He says hunger and thirst. He wants us to be greedy for Him. This is how we love God. Don't sound like love. But to God, this is how we show Him we love Him. And this is when we obey Him. I'm telling you, supernatural things happen. The book of Hebrews encourages us to not give up meeting together. Why? So that we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. When we feel our love for Jesus is diminishing, we need to remember love is much easier caught than taught. Love is much easier caught than taught. We're talking love for God. We can teach many things. I can teach you many things. It's the heart. And we catch it by spending time around people who radiate and sincere, I say sincere love for God. Let me tell you, you don't have to tell people you love God. It will radiate from you.
Amen. Amen.
You don't have to, people will say something different about you.
That's right.
Where's Collins? As they said to Collins,
yeah,
the young man, something different in spite of his struggles that he knows he's going through.
Yeah.
He's allowing God to use him.
Amen.
In the midst of it all. We pick up a lot of the same attitudes and inclinations from people around us. Surround yourself with godly people of God. People who hunger and thirst after God. Not just quote scriptures.
Amen.
Not just talk to you. It's nothing worse than a pastor or a leader when they talk. You ever had people, it's like they're here and they're talking down to you? Nothing worse than that. Because what has happened is when that happens, pride has gotten in there. I've got all the answers. I've got all the answers. You need to get back. You need to get back into the presence of the Lord. Because I don't have no answers. It's the revelation of the love of God. The presence of God. If you want if you want to fall deeper in love with Jesus, it makes sense to spend time with people who share the same desire. I will tell you, some Christians can pull you down. I'm telling you. I'm going to tell you this. I'm just going to say it. There are some of you in here that has pulled others down. And don't even realize you've done it. Because you're far from God. Because if you've done it and you don't realize it, you done closed the Holy Spirit up from knocking at your door and say, Michael. That's why we have to love God the way he tells us. Because we become cognizant of everything around us. We come out of this carnality. We come out of this flesh. And begin to walk as the men and women of God that he so desires for us to do, to be. Next one. Pray. We can't get away from prayer, people. I don't care what you say. My house should be called house of prayer. I can't get away from that. Prayer is one of the strongest forms of intimacy we can have with God. I ain't talking prayer where you're praying for others. There are time for that. I'm talking about prayer where you're just saying, your own Lord, touch me, make me more like you. Reveal your word in a greater way. Teach me thy ways. Help me in my infirmities. Help me in my weaknesses, in my struggles. That's the type of prayer I'm talking about. Many people pray. They pray incorrectly. Many pray, but very few pray a prayer, God, transform me. Continue to mold me. Because many of us think we don't arrived. I haven't. We are thriving for perfection. I dare to say not one of us in here is perfect. Not one of us. Prayer is one of the strongest forms of intimacy that we can have with God, sharing everything on our hearts in prayer so only God knows. Paul encourages the church in Thessalonica to pray without ceasing. When we pray properly and correctly, our hearts connect with God. And we show our love in sharing our highs, lows, and questions about the path we are on. This is why I say if you're angry with God, get alone with him. You do know he knows when you're angry,
right?
We try to lie. I ain't never been angry at God. You just lied. God knows. It's a relationship. You're confused. God, I'm confused. God, I don't understand. It's a relationship. Many times we want to grow all these other things in leadership and ministry, and we're not growing in our relationship with God. There are some benefits, I'm telling you. Because everybody, many that gave testimonies today spoke it. Commit to consistent reading of the Word of God. You will never, ever get to where you want to be in your walk with God until you begin to read the Word of God. I can't get away from, if you don't read the Word, begin to read the Word. Begin to take baby steps. It's okay. Give praise to God. This is how we show love to God. We praise God. We give praises to, many of us can praise Him in many ways. No matter what the circumstance we are in, giving God the glory, not the complaints. Giving God the glory, not the murmurings. Giving God the glory, not beating up your sister and brother. Giving God the glory through praise helps us show our love and appreciation to Him and for who He is. The situation could be one that is happy or one that is challenging. But when we lift our hands up and thank God in worship and praise for His involvement, our hearts are lifted and our eyes focus on God's purpose in and through the situation. Next one, number 10. Oh, this is going to touch many of y'all. Find ways to serve others.
Amen.
Jesus even said, I did not come. He said, I did not come to be ministered to, but I came to minister. Basically, I did not come to be served. But I came to serve you.
That's right.
How many of us in here right now, we're so focused on us. We're so selfish, many, where we don't even see how selfish we are. Not reaching out to, let me tell you something, until we get, this is for the whole body of Christ, but this is definitely for us. Until we start loving up on others, stop crying that God bring more people up in here. Because all you're going to do is mess them up. Serving others. How many wants others to serve? Do it my way. Oh, do it my way. I got the best way. No, you foolish. Until we start serving one another, what do I mean serving one another? I'm going to give you a benefit to loving God the way He tells you to love Him. That's for the next message, because that's going to be awesome. One of the benefits of loving God is knowing when He speaks to you, you know it's God. You're not doubting. Let me tell you something. God will never tell you to call a sister that you can't stand. Yes, He will. The devil will tell you don't call her. God said, my sheep. When we walk with God and we desire and we love Him the way He tells us to love, He will speak. Let me tell you something. He will tell you in the midst of you going to the store. You ladies who like to shop. That's okay. I don't have a problem with that. You want to go to the store. You see this beautiful dress you want to buy. These shoes you've been wanting to get for months. You're on your store, on your way to the store. On your way, boy, and you're excited, boy. All of a sudden, here come God. Here he come. Renee. I need for you to go and visit such and such right now. Or I know you were getting ready to go to a restaurant to eat, but I need you to call such and such right now. Well, God, I don't like her. Oh, well, God, I've been wanting these shoes for a long time. Is that God? Let me tell you something. People keep saying, God don't speak. Yeah, he do. You just disobedient. You don't want to do what he told you to do. The devil will never tell you to serve another sister or brother. Let's just say that. That's how we serve one another. That's how we walk. What God says, my sheep know my voice. Obey me. When he speaks, I heard quite a few say, Devin said, when God speak, obey. God don't care nothing about who you don't like, who done hurt you. What God is concerned about is that you love him and that you obey what he tell you to do. That's how we show God we love him. Find ways to serve others. Now, this is for God's miracle church. Every single one of us that is in leadership, God has commanded us to serve you. Amen. God has already commanded it. So why should someone have to tell me to do something that God has already told you to do? Hard-headed, stiff-necked rascal. Shoe fit? We're supposed to do what Jesus did. WWJD? Far as I know, we're supposed to be Christ-like. Well, let's get in line and love God the way he tells us to love him. Number 11, be thankful. Oh, God, too many of us are so unthankful. Whining and crying about everything. Be thankful how God has blessed us right now. Blessed us with a new children's church. Some of you, oh, it's not big enough. Oh, it's not that. I don't want to hear it. Thank God for the small beginnings. Amen. Remember I did a teaching and I said, stop trying to jump to the big things. Be obedient in showing God in the small things. Eventually the big stuff is going to come. It's all about obedience with God. People, we've got to be obedient. Something special happens when we practice gratitude. You got to practice it. You've got to command it. Life and death is in the power. That means we have the authority. It completely transforms our perspective and how we see things. When we constantly practice certain kinds of thoughts, they become habitual. Bad thoughts, good thoughts. If we indulge ourselves with clinical and pessimistic attitudes, we'll find that we see everything through a disapproving lens. We're never happy. When we practice thankfulness, our eyes are suddenly open to all the goodness in our lives and that is before us. The great thing about looking at the world through a lens of gratitude is that it turns our hearts towards the Lord, the giver of every good gift. Question: are you a pessimistic person? Negative, tending to see the worst of things, or believing the worst will happen? Or are you an optimistic person? You're positive, hopeful, confident, and you're able to see the blessing in everything. Which one are you? But the good news is, you have the authority and the power to change.
Amen.
Don't just say, oh, I've always been this way. I hear so many people say, well, I've always been this way. No, well, good. That's why we have Jesus. That's why we have Jesus. I've always been this way. That don't make it right. Why are you settling? Why are you settling? What does that mean? I've always been this way. That means you are unwilling to let God change you because you want to hold on to that stinking thinking. It has become your friend. I refuse. I don't want it. The last one. Share generously. I mentioned those two ladies about the shoes, about the going out to eat. Just use them as an example. Share generously. When God tells you to do something, do it. Stop saying I don't want to. It never feels good. But there are benefits to obeying God. When you have allocated a certain amount of time that you're going to do this. Now we have 24 hours in a day, right? Look at it like this. And you have made up your mind you want to do a certain thing. And God, far as I know, God never waits until it's convenient. I don't know. Maybe you've experienced it. It's always seems to be inconvenient to me. There you go.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. When God knocks and he has told you to do something, give generously.
Hallelujah.
Of your time. Because what he may told you to do, guess what? It may take 2 hours to do it. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But he's giving you 22 more hours.
That's right. That's right.
Think about it. You got to stop. Look at it like that. When he tells you to do something, I have been planning to do such and such, such. We come up with all silly excuses why we disobey God. and we in it and we justify the disobedience. There's no justification for disobeying God. It clouds our minds from hearing God. Give generously. Give generously of yourself. Well, somebody gonna hurt me. Get over it. Well, I don't trust people with that because you don't trust the Lord. Well, I don't like people. Well, you must don't like God then. Because as far as I know, we all were created in the image of God. We say things that sound good to us, and it's like a stitch unto the nostril of God. In closing, we all need to work on loving God more,
amen,
including me. I have not arrived. I know because I'm still on my journey. But we also can't stop at simply applying these few lessons that I gave you today. We must take time to teach others and to show others how to love God. It's the most important aspect of our Christian life. Not just preaching at people, hooping and hollering at them, and when we talk to people, you know when you talk to somebody, you ever talk to a minister? And when you talk to them, well, bless you, my sister. I'm the first one to say, you need to get away from me. Because I know nobody talk like that 24/7. All God wants us to do is get real. See, many keep that cloak of religiosity on because they don't want you to get to know them. Fulfilling, there is a lack in them. The more we spend with God and to love God the way he tells us to do, we can just let go. The best way to teach others how to love God is by modeling these aspects before them and helping them apply these qualities and attributes in their own lives. Help them to appreciate God's goodness and majesty. Prompt them to tell Jesus that they love him. That's difficult for us men. Because we are created differently. It's easier for a woman to just raise her hands and shout, I love you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Difficult for us. All eyes closed, all heads bowed. I had you laughing a little bit doing this, but I'm serious. God wants us to love him the way he has commanded and told us to love him. I want everybody to stand. And I'm going to pray a corporate prayer over the entire congregation. I'm not going to have anybody come up here.
Amen.
Lord God, in the name of Jesus, as I hold my hand to the people. Father God, we are your people. And Lord God, as you so desire for us to love you, the way you want us to love you. Lord God, continue to speak that revelation to our hearts. And Lord God, that you would place that seed in each and every one of us where we will begin to hunger and thirst after you, Father. Lord God, that we would not desire anything more than we desire you, Father. But Father, may you be the apple of all of our eyes. Lord God, for you are the lifter of our heads. Lord God, may we think on you 24/7. Lord God, may we not be forgetful, but may we remember that, Lord God, that you are with us 24/7, that keeps us from doing ridiculous things. And so, Father, just draw us closer to you. I pray your anointing would rest upon every person right now, that your anointing, that your glory would rest upon them. Lord God, that they would have that mountaintop experience with you, Lord God. Father, I pull out all religiosity out of each and every one of us right now. I bind up the spirit of religion out of us, Lord God, because we are not religious. Lord God, Father God, we have a relationship with you, Lord God. And so, Father God, I thank you for your peace upon your people. Lord God, that you will continue to reveal, bring the revelation of who you are even greater into our hearts. And so we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated.